I have two texts here today. The first one is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will follow not a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know him, and they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Our second reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. "For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." This is the word of the Lord. Today is the fourth Sunday in Easter, but it is also known as Shepherd Sunday. The text from John is rich in imagery. There are thieves and bandits, gatekeepers and gates, shepherds, sheep and pastures, strangers and voices are in this text. Verse 3 says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." There's some debate on who the gatekeeper is in this text. I believe that this text speaks in very Trinitarian language. And what I mean by that is that I believe that God the Father is the gatekeeper. God the Father sent his only Son, Jesus, to us. In the mind of God, God envisioned the gate and the good shepherd. And at the baptism of Jesus, the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, whom I am well pleased." In this text, Jesus says, "I am the gate." He is also the good shepherd. The sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Sheep come in through the gate and go out through the gate and find pastures. Thieves come along and try to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief comes to lead us away from life. But Jesus says, "I came that you may have life and that you have it abundantly." I was sitting there this week just pondering things, and I got one of my magazines in the mail, and I sat down and read the first couple paragraphs here of this magazine I received called Christian Century. I'm going to read the first couple of paragraphs here in this magazine that I received. This theologian Karl Barth once suggested that the most pressing question people ask when hearing a sermon is it true? Is God really present in our lives, in our world, in a way that these preached words suggest might be true? Some years ago, I decided there's an antecedent question of equal importance. Is the preacher true? For me, this question doesn't circle around whether the preacher avoids telling lies or making false claims, but whether the preacher's own life is truth-based. Does that life have an inner and outer coherence to it? Like a bicycle wheel that is wonderfully true, spinning straight, has the preacher done enough truthful living to lend credibility to words offered from the pulpit? I would like to think that I have some of that credibility. I've only been here, it's been 3 years. Done quite a bit in 3 years. I was at the Becker Church for 6 years. So over that time, I hope that I've gained a little bit of credibility. I try to be biblical. I try to live my life biblically. I try to be honest about things. Honest with struggles, honest with some of the biblical texts that we encounter in Bible studies and things like that. I try to just be honest about things and open about things. My life's been pretty hectic lately. I've been taking college courses and ministry courses and things like that, and life has been kind of busy. So I've been going and going and doing and doing and just this, that, and the other, and I'm sure many of you can relate. Your lives are probably going and going and doing and doing. That's kind of what we do these days. So yesterday afternoon, I decided I'm just going to go sit outside. And I have a hummingbird feeder. And I said to myself, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch this hummingbird feeder and see if any hummingbirds show up. There's a gentleman down at the Becker Church who talks to me about hummingbirds, and he suggested flowers to plant, and I've watched videos and documentaries on hummingbirds, and they're fascinating creatures. So I've put flowers out in my yard, and I put that red water stuff up there, and I'm ready. I'm going to sit, and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to see a hummingbird today. So I sat out there, I was watching, and all of a sudden a blue jay lands there. I have suet. Y'all familiar with suet? Those little cakes you put in little cages to attract birds? There are some blue jays there eating some suet. And they're not very far from me, like here to the rail. I mean, they're like right there. So I sat and watched them for a few minutes. Then a redbird shows up, eats for a while. Then a big, giant, red-bellied woodpecker shows up right there on those things, you know. And then two smaller woodpeckers show up. And I don't know, what are these birds? I don't know what these birds are. So I had to get my bird book out. They were downy woodpeckers, the smallest woodpeckers in North America. I didn't know that. But there they were, right there in front of me, eating the food. They flew off. And I started staring again at my hummingbird feeder. No hummingbirds. And then I hear that pecking, you know, like woodpeckers do. So I got my binoculars, and I went out to the tree to see, and sure enough, one of those downy woodpeckers that was eating was now up in the tree, pecking up there. So I saw him. I was walking back, and something caught my eye. And we have these downspouts on the house, and then off of the downspout is this plastic little extension for the drain, you know, so it drains out in the yard. And underneath that, I saw something little move. And I got down, I had to get real close, and it was a little bunny rabbit about this big. It's just tiny, 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 you know? And it was underneath that little drain spout, just hiding. But somehow I caught a glimpse of that. So I went back and I sat down and I continued to watch my hummingbird feeder. No hummingbirds at all. All day. I was out there for over an hour. Not a single hummingbird stopped by. I want to be honest about this text here today. You read the text here from John, and it just sounds so simple. You know, Jesus is the gate. He's the good shepherd. He calls. We hear his voice. We follow. It's just so easy. But we all know it's not that easy, you know? It's hard sometimes to hear his voice. I don't know why that is. It made me think of the book of Amos this week. It's one of those Old Testament characters. He was around during the time when Israel and Judah were being conquered and taken over by external forces like the Assyrians and the Babylonians. He was a prophet during that time, and he had to preach to the people during a challenging time. And he had some challenging words for them. He says, "The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." We often think that abundant life, Jesus talks about abundant life. Abundant life is somehow equated with material things that we have, perhaps financial resources that we have, perhaps a good education and things like that. I'm in college classes right now with all young, you know, students in there. They're 20 years old or whatever, 18, 19, 20. They're being told that they got to get a good education, and once they get that, they'll go out, they'll get a good job, and everything will be grand and fine. But the reality, they'll probably be very disappointed, because more often than not these days, it doesn't work out that way. They get their education, they get out there, there's not an abundance of jobs and things like that, and they're kind of disappointed by that. Not that education isn't good, but I think what it's promising to deliver might not be there. So they might be disappointed in that fact. So I think we're going through some times right now where I think it is kind of difficult to hear a word from God. We desire that. We may have some material things or whatnot, but that just doesn't cut it. We want to hear a word from the Lord. He goes on to say, "They shall run, wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they'll run to and fro seeking a word from the Lord, but they shall not find it." Again, those are tough words from the prophet Amos. I don't know why God does that, but I think God does that from time to time. Are we going through a time like that now? I think we're in a time right now where there is kind of a famine of the word. But with that said, I think sometimes we create our own famines. You know, we get so busy. This week, my phone died. I think I was telling the kids that. You know, I didn't know what to do. I mean, what do I do? You know, your life now is wrapped up in these goofy devices. I couldn't call anybody because I don't know their numbers because it's in there. I want people to call me, but they can't call here. So where are they going to call? They call on the landline. Well, how ancient is that? I mean, some people don't even have landlines anymore. We have one, but you got to communicate through email or whatever. Just so much is wrapped up in these little devices now that we get distracted by things like this. Our lives become very distracted. My life has been kind of distracted lately. It's always go, 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 and do, do, do. Got to get things done. Got to do things. Got to go here. Got to go there. There's things going on. And even folks in retirement. I know you thought retirement was going to be kind of, well, it's time to relax. Well, you know, kind of like the kids in college there. Might have been sold a bill of goods on that one. I think quite coming true, because from what I see, retired folks are busy and they got things they got to do, and there's just things going on, and there's just not a lot of time to relax. So I had to intentionally take that time this week. But one thing I did was I said to myself, I'm going to sit and watch for a hummingbird. I want to see a hummingbird. That's got to happen. It didn't happen. There's no hummingbirds. I wanted them. And I could have focused on that. And I could have missed all this other stuff going on around me, you know. Focused on my hummingbirds. But Blue Jays are kind of big. Some of these woodpeckers kind of big. They caught my attention, you know. And I looked at them, and they were kind of cool. Different colors. Big ones, small ones. Little rabbits out there in the yard. I wouldn't have seen that, you know, normally. So sometimes I think we get so intent on hearing a particular word from God that that's all we look for. We look for that word. Sometimes he doesn't give you that word that you want to hear. He's given you other words. Other things are going on. And so I think you can't get distracted by what you want to hear or what you think God should be doing for you at this point in time or whatever. I think you have to be open enough to let God be God and maybe give you words that you need to hear or things that you need to see, and not necessarily the things that you want to hear or you want to see, you know? So I think that was something that really was made real to me this week, just by sitting outside and taking a little time. I hadn't done that in forever, you know? And it's such nice weather out there. You should do that today. If you got things you should be doing, maybe you got things you have to do. I get that. But if you have a choice in the matter, you might look for a hummingbird today. You probably see them out here. I don't got any where I'm at, but I'm certain you'll see one fly around out here. Or maybe just enjoy the weather, listen for some birds, go fishing, I don't know, whatever. But just something that has no purpose behind it. A lot of times we do things because we have to do this because we got to get this done, and there's always something driving. There's always a purpose behind everything. Do something that has no purpose whatsoever today. Watch a sunset. Breathe some fresh air. Whatever. You might find that God has something to say to you in that. This text says we are to hear Jesus' voice and follow. Again, sounds like hearing and doing. We got to hear something, we got to do something. That's why I read the text from Peter. Because in Peter, he says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have been returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. Those are comforting words, because those are words that we don't have to do. God has done them in and through Jesus Christ. He did that. There's nothing we have to do. And that's really the main message of the gospel. Christ has done all this for us. Now, yes, we are called to follow. We are called to live lives of righteousness and things like that. But we're not Jesus. You know, Jesus is Jesus. And he has done some things and set some things straight for us that frees us from having to do all this stuff, you know. So I just leave that there for you today. Change is something that we're experiencing a lot these days. The world's changing. You can sense it. There's something going on in the world. It's changing. Things are changing. You look for stability in your life. You want stability. And then all of a sudden, perhaps news this week, I've got some emails, you know, I'm leaving, and that's unsettling. I get that. But that shouldn't take away from the fact that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd, and he is leading you, and he is leading this church. We do have the word of the Lord available to us right here, every day. It's there. If you want to hear a word from the Lord, you've got a whole book to look at and to read. And like I said last week, it's a living Bible. It's a living word of God. It's not static. It speaks to you where you're at, and it leads you and encourages you and uplifts you. So I encourage you to read the scriptures, because they are important. They are God's word to us. So during this time, we are in this time of transition in the world, and there's just a lot of transition going on. You're looking for some stable ground to stand on. The Word of God is some stable ground to stand on. I think we desire to hear the Word of God in our lives, and I think God is speaking in our lives. I think we have to tune out some of the noise, put some of these things down for a while, turn the TV off for a while, and not be so intent on hearing a specific word from God that we think we need to hear. Open yourselves up to hear a word from God that you may need to hear, that God wants you to hear, you know? And it may be something just simple. He might just say, you know, look at this world that is here. Look at the things going on around you that you tune out and miss. There's a lot going on here, a lot of good things. So I encourage you this week to listen for God's voice and open your hearts and your minds to hear the word that he has in store for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.